Opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you for your divine mercy. We thank you for giving us the opportunity to spend eternity with you. Direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
And that was my sidekick, my wife, my bride, Joan Chiffo, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you, we love Jesus. And we have some show together for you, and I'm so excited about it. The guests are just phenomenal. Our co-host, by the way, is my dear friend, Brother Paul Miller. Brother Paul, are you on the air?
I am on the air.
Oh, thank you, Brother Paul Miller. And our guest is I don't know what to say about him. I'm so honored to have him, Father Michael Gately. Father, are you on the air?
He didn't call.
Oh, he didn't call yet.
Oh, he hasn't called yet. Oh,
right.
Okay.
Okay.
We have to go to filler now.
Okay. I'll give a call. I'll give him a call. But Brother Paul, while we got you on the phone, why don't we give a little update on what's going on with all the things that you're doing and how was the divine mercy 2 weeks ago? I hear you had thousands and thousands of people there, and I'm just flabbergasted by all the work that you're doing there, brother.
Well, it was a beautiful day, and we were very fortunate to have Archbishop Bernard Hebda, who is the new Archbishop-elect from Minneapolis-St. Paul, as the main celebrant, and it was just a spectacular event. We had people coming by buses from Connecticut, from Long Island, from upstate New York, even from a Catholic school upstate New York, brought a whole busload of high school students, which were just so joyful, and it was wonderful to be there. It was a totally bilingual celebration in English and Spanish. And from all reports, it was a resounding success. Many, many people enjoyed the blessings, the extraordinary blessings that our Lord offered on Divine Mercy Sunday through the blood and water which flowed from his open wound. Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful day. We're very thankful to all the people that came and also all the people that it took to run the event.
That sounds like a wonderful event that you had. Did you also have the Mass in English and in Spanish?
Yes, everything was bilingual, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Yes, so it started. Actually, I started praying for people, blessing people, at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it lasted till almost 5 o'clock.
Wow.
It was a long day. It was a long day, but what was probably the most beautiful part of it, though, is we had up to 6 priests doing confessions the entire day, and the priests were just overwhelmed by some of the confessions of the many, many people that came, some of whom hadn't been to confession in like 30 years. So
wow.
It was a beautiful, beautiful day.
That really was very special. We had a beautiful ceremony at St. Catherine's in Franklin Square here, nowhere near, you know, what you're talking about. But I think no matter where any church that has had that that Divine Mercy Day and celebrate it with their people in their parish. It's been a wonderful experience for people, and to know that they have this mercy from God that they can receive on that day, that they can go to confession. Everything is right there for them. So just come and accept it from God. It's a beautiful thing. It really is.
And it's great to see their devotion in, you know, increasing. It seems that the more places I go throughout the United States, I'm beginning to see more and more people who are embracing the Divine Mercy devotion, which I'm sure our Lord must be smiling about that, because it's been a little bit slow in coming, but I think people like our guest today, Father Michael Gately, that they've really helped to bring this to become more visible, you know, in across the nation. So,
yes, he's written a new book on Divine Mercy. I believe it's 33 days, I have it written here somewhere. It's the 33 Days to Merciful Love, I think, is the new one.
Right.
And I'm anxious to get that. I'd like to order some copies for our own prayer group to start on that. And I believe that he has he's chose St. Teresa of Lisieux to focus on in that book.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
Yeah.
I haven't read the book, but that's what I understand.
That's what I'm looking forward to. But we did read the other book, the 33 Days to Morning Glory. And
yeah,
we did that last year with our group. And that was just a beautiful way to understand how we get to Jesus through Mary. And
it was
a wonderful book to go through and to study. So we did our journaling with that book, and it was just beautiful. So he's a wonderful speaker, and I believe he's the director of formation for the Marian Missionaries of Divine Mercy, and that's at Stockbridge, Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. He has a very important job up there, huh?
What was that?
I said he has a very important job.
He certainly does, yeah. And he's busy with his books and his retreats. He's having a retreat right here at Hofstra University in July.
Right. That's,
And
that should be wonderful.
Yeah, and he's having I don't know if it's the 15th. That's what it is. It's the 15th, 16th, and 17th of July. And they're having conferences and mass and rosary and chaplet of Divine Mercy, adoration. It'll be a lot of different things for the whole weekend. So it's a retreat for people if they are interested. So when he does call in, we'll give the exact information so that if anyone is interested. I believe Anthony is trying to get in touch with him now so that he can call in. I don't know if he had a problem calling, but... So your weekend was wonderful anyway. You must be pretty exhausted after that.
Well, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit is so present at those things that it just sort of carries you through, you know?
He does.
But it's always a couple of days afterward that you start to feel it. You start to feel the, you know, a touch of exhaustion.
Yeah, that's when it starts to set in. But I know while it's happening, it's sort of a euphoria that you're going through, that you're just... It's a wonderful experience, and you do enjoy it. And everyone that's there feels the same way, I'm sure. So, and then
one of the beautiful parts of it is, I was saying, telling you about the school buses that come in, and several of the young people that I met last fall that had come last year came up to me and said that they weren't Catholic, even though they were going to a Catholic high school. That they weren't Catholic, and they just so much enjoyed the day that they were going to come back this year.
Wow, that's really something.
They came back. They were so. I think, you know, one of the things that it says about Divine Mercy is the universality of the message.
Exactly.
You know, that God is all merciful,
and that He's getting to these young people. That's wonderful. Are you back?
Yes.
You're back.
Hi, Father Gately.
Oh, I'm talking to Paul Miller.
With Paul Miller, yeah. But I think we got Father Gately.
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Praise Jesus. Praise the Lord.
We got him. Okay.
Paul, I have on the phone also, by the way, Father, Brother Paul Miller, who's...
hello. Hi, Father. How are you?
Okay. Now, Brother Paul Miller, I'm not sure if you know, is a spiritual son of Maria Espinanza, and he does, he's a healer, he does a soup kitchen, he gives coats away in the wintertime, and he does so many things. Now, my wife Joan is on the phone also, and Joan and Paul were having a discussion about you when I interrupted, so I apologize. So,
no, that's all right. We were just discussing how wonderful the Divine Mercy Sunday was that Paul Miller had, and how it's the same in so many places around the world, that you can have thousands and thousands of people, or maybe just 50 people, and it's a wonderful experience. And so, Father, I understand that you are coming to New York soon, to Hofstra University, to give a retreat.
Yeah, it's a Marian Mercy retreat that we've been having for the Year of Mercy. I and a group of guys called the Marian Missionaries of Divine Mercy, we've been doing different events in different cities throughout the country. In July 15th through the 17th, we're going to be at the Hofstra University for one of those events. So we're glad, because we're up in Massachusetts, so New York is our neighbor. So we're happy to get down
right,
there.
Right.
Well, I assure you, Father, we'll be promoting it. And if possible, Joan and I will also try to be there.
We'll
if
try
we can.
To be there, yeah.
So,
awesome. Hope to meet you guys there.
Oh, yeah. Hope so. We're we're sort of fans of you, and we've read your book, 33 Days to Morning Glory. We did it in a prayer group, and I have to tell you, it was very well received. And the reason why I believe it was so well received, I don't know, Joan will vouch for me, is that it was in such a beautiful layman's language.
Simply written book.
And
that we
simply
could understand.
Written that,
yes.
20 people in our prayer group, and we all had the same comment. Hey, you know what? We understood what we were reading. And, I'm a different story. I'm not that bright anyway, but we all understood, and we all got a lot out of that book, and we're looking forward to your other new book.
Well, thank you. Yeah, when I was in the seminary, I used to write very highfalutin papers with, all the big words and all that, and my mom asked to read one of my papers, and she said, I didn't understand any of that. Why don't you write it in a way I can understand?
Well,
and that's just exactly what
I put away all the big language, and I thought, this is going to, who am I trying to impress? Might as well just make it so it makes sense. So I'm glad it actually made sense. Plus, I'm pretty simple-minded myself. That's the only way I can understand.
So we have a lot in common. So, Brother Paul, this is what was on my mind for the past few days. Have you two guys crossed paths? I mean, do you know one another? Have you been acquainted with one another at all? Because for some reason, in my prayer time, I got that this has been put together by the Holy Spirit, so to speak, for you two to get together in one way or another. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we've ever met in person. I've been to Stockbridge, and I've met with the people in Stockbridge, because when we established the New Jersey Center of Divine Mercy, we obtained the first class relic of Faustina through the efforts and help of the people in Stockbridge. So we feel very connected to Stockbridge in our work. And of course, we are a big promoter of Divine Mercy in the state of New Jersey, certainly.
Oh, I'll say you're a big promoter. How many people did you get there 2 weeks ago for Divine Mercy, about?
I'm somewhere around 1,000 or between 1,000 and 1,200 or something like that.
That's what I was told.
Which is remarkable, Father Gately, because this church was closed for almost 18 years. And it's in the heart of Newark in the most difficult, most poor and violent area of the city.
And
wow, that's quite a showing of people.
And I was just going to say, and still in all, they showed up for Divine Mercy.
And you know what? The other thing that's funny is when we first approached the Archbishop about establishing this center, he was very reluctant and finally agreed, but he said, but nobody's going to come. We've had over 1,000 people the last 2 years, and it's been incredible outpouring of mercy from our Lord, and it's attracted people from the tri-state area.
Now, I believe the reputation, Brother Paul, that you've established with this Divine Mercy in Newark precedes itself, because mostly everyone I speak to know about it. They know about it. And a lot of them would love to go. Some just can't go. They're limited. But the people that were there this year came back with rave reviews, rave reviews.
You know, I think we have to thank people like Father Gately, because they're the ones that are really getting the message out, via media of all different kinds about Divine Mercy. So, I want to personally thank him for his efforts, because, believe me, I think obviously the world needs it. So.
Oh.
I'm sure Stockbridge had a wonderful reception, too, for the Divine Mercy Day last week.
What happened to Stockbridge?
Well, they usually have a whole big Divine Mercy.
Divine Mercy, yes.
Yeah.
So Divine Mercy is getting
to
be
the National Shrine.
Yeah, and with the help of our Holy Father, the Pope, who's made this Divine Mercy year, it's getting around. People are getting to know, hey, we could be saved. You know, the biggest sinners don't have to say to the next person that says, hey, come back to the church. They don't have to say it's too late, because the Holy Father, the Pope, made it known.
It's never too late. I'd like to ask Father Gately, why do you think the Pope declared this year to be the year of mercy?
I think he decided to declare this year the year of mercy because, mercy has been a big theme of his pontificate, and he was inspired by the example and witness of especially St. John Paul II. Mm-hmm. To the priest of the Diocese of Rome about 2 years ago at the beginning of Lent, he said, listen to the voice of the Spirit that speaks to the whole church in this our time, which is in fact the time of mercy. He said, we've been living in the time of mercy for the last 30 or more years up to now. And he shared that it was an insight of John Paul II, that this was the time of mercy. And I think the reason why he was thinking that it's the time of mercy is because of what we read in Romans 5, verse 20, where it says, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. In other words, in a time of great evil, God gives even greater grace. Mm. And so I think he declared a year of mercy because we need it. We're in a time, and according to John Paul II, that in some ways, while there's many blessings, we're living in a time in some ways of unprecedented evil. But for that very reason, God's not outdone by the evil, and he gives even greater grace. And so I think as a sign of hope and a sign of God's blessing in the midst of so much difficulty, so many difficult things, the Pope is giving us this special year of mercy, which is a year of hope and consolation. So in short, I think he called the year of mercy because we need a year of mercy.
We certainly do, yeah. Has this had an impact on your ministry?
You mean the Pope calling this year of mercy? Well, yeah, I think, after John Paul II certainly gave a big impetus to the whole Divine Mercy message and devotion in the church. And with Pope Francis, he keeps repeating mercy over and over and over again. But with this year of mercy now, we're just seeing, in some ways, an unprecedented response from our offices here in Stockbridge. We're seeing that, Divine Mercy is one of the most popular devotions in the Catholic Church today, but it's just, it's extraordinary, the response of people. So, yeah, I'd say that this year, Mercy has really moved a lot of hearts to be responsive to Faustina's message, to John Paul's message, which is really just the message that's at the heart of the gospel, God's mercy for sinners.
And I would say, only by grace are we receiving divine mercy from Jesus. What do you say, Joan?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I know that even in Father Gately's book, There Are 3 Days to Morning Glory, I read that Mary is the sole distributor of all graces, and that we must ask for grace through her. We have to receive our graces from her. We have to ask for them.
So let's play that song.
Okay.
Trevor.
Would you like to play a song?
Only by grace.
Okay.
By Joan, by the way.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Now by the grace we come. By the way, this is a grassroots show. I didn't mention at the beginning, and that we open up the show not to phone calls, but if you want to text messages to us or you want to text pictures to us, you can by dialing 516-712-7005 or, which is a more popular number because it's Jones, dialing 516-712-7004. So if you have any comments that you'd like to make about the show or anything like that, or if you have any pictures that you would like to take and send, we'd love to have them. We just got a picture now of Joan, myself, and a dear friend of ours, Jed O'Brien, in the studio sitting. We have a spectator connected. In the studio. What? Excuse me?
Power off.
What is that?
I don't know. We have a spectator in the studio with us, a dear friend of ours, Jed O'Brien. Okay. I don't know what's going on here with the electronics, but we have a dear friend in the studio with us, Jed O'Brien, who I just want to mention. I know he's unsung and he's very timid, but I just want you to know he's an unsung hero. Because he does things for Jesus, for the Blessed Mother, for Divine Mercy, in his own little quiet way. And where do you go every Friday, Jed?
I go to Adoration, St.
Catherine. He is an ardent Adoration visitor every Friday at St. Catherine's. And he just does his things very quietly. He's an unsung hero. Thanks, Jed. Thanks for being a friend of Jesus. I was wondering, Father, and also I was wondering, Brother Paul, you both have the same sights on Divine Mercy. Now, Brother Paul, what set your sights on Divine Mercy to make Divine Mercy what you made it over the years?
Well, you know, I was introduced to it in the presence of Servant of God Maria Esperanza. And that was back in 1997. And I didn't really know anything about it. And it sort of piqued my interest because it sounded so true. You know, sometimes when Mother has said that, Mother said the truth sets you free. Well, the truth of it just touched my heart in a way that I became interested and I started praying the chaplet every day. And then things evolved over time. And that's really what sort of built my interest. It became very focalized in when I first arrived in Newark, when sort of I was put on the path of creating this, not only the Center of Divine Mercy, but also the whole charity that I do. They are with the poor, the feeding of the poor, and the clothing of the poor, and all that stuff. It all meshed together because, you know, to be merciful, you have to do acts of mercy. So, you know, it ties together perfectly. You know, we feed 160,000 meals a year there. And you know, that's part of being merciful. That's what God calls us to be. So that's really how it happened with me.
Wow. 160,000 meals a year you serve?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, my God. You ought to write a book. A recipe book.
I'm
leaving that to Father Gately. He seems to do a very good job with his book.
He does. Father Gately, when you chose your career path in the as a priest, what made you choose the career path that you're in now? Well, how did that happen? How did that come about? Or was that just preordained by Jesus?
Well, I think, in terms of people living in the world and things, it's people choose their own career paths. But Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." The priesthood is a vocation, which means it's a call from Jesus. It's not an individual decision of somebody makes up their mind, I think I like the life of a priest, and so I'll do that. It's going back to the apostles, you know, where Jesus was on the Sea of Galilee, and he would say to the various apostles, "Come, follow me." Every priestly vocation should, at least, and a true vocation is always a call from Jesus. So, for me, I felt the call to the priesthood and to religious life because I'm also a religious priest. When I was in college, and I was moved particularly, by the Divine Mercy message and devotion, which is the heart of the gospel, God's mercy for sinners.
When you wrote your books and you're doing your talks, there's a special message that I'm thinking that you're getting out there. Can you just talk a little bit about the message that you want to get out there when you do your talks and your books?
Sure. I mean, yeah. I've written several different books on different topics. Probably what you're referring to is the Divine Mercy message.
Yes.
Maybe
that's
the theme of a lot of the books.
Yes.
The heart of it is, as we were hearing talking before, is that. Now is a special time of grace and mercy in the Church, according to the testimony of the different popes. Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict XVI, Pope Francis has been repeating that over and over. Again, it goes from that passage in Scripture, where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. That in a time of great evil such as ours, God gives even greater grace. So the Divine Mercy message of devotion is really a message of hope in our troubled world. And I think the heart of that message is that Jesus is giving us a special time of mercy. Frankly, with all of the trouble and wounds and difficulties and sins of a culture of death in which we live, we really deserve a certain type of punishment, really. But God is, instead of giving us a punishment that we deserve, He's giving us divine mercy. He's giving us time. And so probably the heart of the message that I like to share is the message of the popes, the message of St. Faustina, the message of several other saints this message of sacred Scripture, that in a time that's really a need for conversion, there really needs to rise up from the people of God a cry for mercy. And in my opinion, one of the best ways to do that is first and foremost the Mass, where we have the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ that's offered to the Father, and we can pray for mercy for the world, but also praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, which should be united to the sacrifice of the Mass and the offerings of the Mass. So the heart of the message then, that I feel called, by the Lord to share and to spread, is that this is a time of mercy, it's a time of hope, but we need to cry out for mercy, and we need to be merciful to our neighbor, and we need to receive mercy in our own hearts by trusting in Jesus, turning away from sin, and receiving His love and mercy.
And isn't it such a wonderful time of the year to know that, I have to tell you that I don't mention this very often, but I go around to the hospital and to the sick to give Holy Communion. And the thing that hurts my heart the most is when I go into the hospital room to ask if they would like to receive Holy Communion. And sometimes the answer that I get is, "No, I don't think so. It's too late for me." But the beautiful part of it is that no, it's not too late. It's never too late. And that's the reason why people are going to the hospital offering Holy Communion to the sick and to the infirm and trying to let people know, no matter what you've done or how you've done it, there's a place in Jesus' heart for you. Am I right about that, or am I just being too, I don't know, too consuming or too, what do you call, or jumping to conclusions? But in my heart, this is what it's telling me, that it's never too late, and we can all be saved.
Yeah, I mean, really what the Divine Mercy message and devotion is that comes to us through St. Faustina is it's really reminding us of the heart of the gospel. And the heart of the gospel is that, you know, Jesus didn't come for the righteous, he came for sinners. That he has the heart of the good shepherd who will even leave behind the 99 lost to go in search of that one lost sheep. You know, it's the good news that God's love is like water. It goes to the lowest place. It rushes to the lowest place. It's the good news, you know, that God doesn't love us because we're so good, but because he's so good, that we don't earn his love, but we receive his love with a contrite heart. You know, in the diary of St. Faustina, Jesus says, the greater the sinner, the greater his right to my mercy. You know, a lot of times we think that God would love us if we just do this, 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 and that. God's love for us is unconditional. And in fact, this is sort of the scandal of the gospel. It's the scandal that scandalized the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. It's the idea that, you know, the more weak, broken, and sinful we are, the more God's merciful love goes out to us. And that is the good news of the gospel. And that's the good news that sometimes people forget, even Christians who've grown up Christians and Catholics all their life long, sometimes they go through never really realizing that heart of the gospel. Now, of course, we have to strive to turn away from sin. You know, we can't just expect to receive God's mercy when we're unrepentant. But if we're truly sorry for our sins and we want to make a change in our lives and we really want to try, that doesn't mean we're not going to fail. But, you know, at least we want to try and overcome sin in our lives and we want to accept the mercy of God, it's always, always there for us. You know, Pope Francis has said that, you know, we're the ones who tire of asking God's forgiveness, but God never tires of forgiving. God is always ready to forgive us, always, if we're ready to turn away from our sins. But even if we go to confession over and over again for the same sins, if we're truly sorry for our sins and we really want to keep trying, even if we fail 1,000, 1,000,000 times, that mercy is always there for us. And so, I think you're right. It's really, to a lot of people, it seems too good to be true, but it is true. And what Faustina, John Paul II, Pope Francis, Mother Teresa, what all these saints are saying is really the same message. It's the message of Jesus, that he didn't come for the righteous, he came for sinners. And if we're willing to try and turn to him and to try to give up sin in our lives, his mercy is always there for us to heal us, to save us, and to bring us peace.
Okay. Brother Paul, Father.
Yes. Yep.
I'm a sinner, and I am a sinner. And I know I have, you know, I got a good possibility that I don't have to be turned away from Jesus or God. That there's a chance that Jesus will take me back. So nowhere should I say it's too late for me. But in reality, the truth be known, can I really just say, okay, Jesus, take me back, I'm sorry, and he will embrace me and love me and say, you know what, Anthony? Yep, your sins are forgiven. As a matter of fact, I don't even remember what they are. Is that a possibility, or am I being over dramatic here?
So who is this question addressed to?
So the question is directed to either Paul, Brother Paul, or you, Father. Am I being overly concerned or overly anxious or overly
Or are you saying, simplifying it?
What?
Are you simplifying
it? Am I simplifying it too much by saying I know that I'm going to be forgiven?
Well, I just answered the last question, so why don't I let Brother Paul answer that one?
Okay, Brother Paul.
Well, you know, I mean, that's what divine mercy is all about. I mean, I like to think that we're always in Jesus' embrace. So, he's always reaching out to us with mercy all the time. And, you know, to the extent that we accept that, obviously, you know, that mercy will come to us. In fact, Jesus told Faustina that, you know, even if she prayed the chaplet only one time in the presence of a dying person, no matter how great a sinner that person is, that when that person died, he would intercede between that person and his Heavenly Father, not as a just judge, but as a loving Savior. I mean, that's a mouthful. You know, that offers hope to anyone so long as someone would be willing to be merciful by praying the chaplet for that person. Jesus' mercy is unlimited. Father has said that. And, you know, no matter how great a sin, his mercy is greater. So there's no, you know, there is no possible way that we could overcome that mercy through our own sinfulness. So, you know, to me, certainly, you know, God offers us that mercy. One thing I would like to ask Father, if I could, Tony.
Sure, absolutely.
In my ministry, which my ministry goes across the United States, and I'm always doing services in churches basically all over the place, and I find many times that the pastors of the churches I go to have very little interest in divine mercy. And I really wanted to ask you that question. If you've encountered that, and if so, what do you think the answer to that is?
You're saying that, in your experience, the people in parishes have not been open to divine mercy? Is that what you're saying?
Not the people, but the priests. Many priests that I
clergy.
That I study encounter.
Okay, well,
like,
yeah,
I mean, even
sure.
Even the image. So you understand what I mean?
Yeah, okay, so before I address that, maybe I'll just say one thing about the last question that you said, just to kind of clarify something. God's mercy is always there. As Brother Paul was saying, we're always in the Lord's embrace. His love for us doesn't change. We're the ones who change. But for us to receive his mercy, we have to have at least two things. These are the two key ingredients that if when you come to confession, that I cannot, I'm a priest, I can't give you absolution, I can't give you God's forgiveness, unless you have two things that you're sorry, or actually three things. You got to confess your sins, you got to know your sins, recognize them, and confess them. You have to be sorry for your sins. If you're not sorry for your sins, then what God, and you're not asking for that forgiveness, God can't forgive you. The third thing is, you have to have a desire to change, and an intention to change. If there's not the intention to change, like, Lord, please give me your mercy and forgiveness, but I'm not changing nothing, that's not going to work. If you're not sorry for your sins, that's not going to work. If you're asking for forgiveness, but you don't even know what your sins are, or you're not confessing any sins, it's hard for God to forgive that. So that's just one thing. And I would also mention that if you have serious sins, that is, you know, something with grave matter, you can confess to the Lord, but you also, if you're a Catholic, you should go to confession as soon as possible. Okay, so just having that out of the way, you raise this other issue, this other question of that a lot of pastors or priests sometimes resist the divine mercy message and devotion. And I would say that's true. And I think one of the reasons for that is actually a good reason. The job of priests is really, it's part of their job is to protect the flock. And, you know, there are a lot of false prophets. There are people who claim that Jesus is speaking to them. They're who are false mystics who, you know, are looking to win a buck, or they're maybe a bit nuts or something. There are these people out there that are out to sort of turn the flock away from the Lord or to confuse the flock. And so it is the job of the priest to vet people. That is to to ask questions and to have a little bit of degree of skepticism when it comes to somebody who's claiming that Jesus is speaking to them. Now, there was a lot of skepticism of St. Faustina because for a while she wasn't that well known, and there wasn't a lot of widespread information on her. In fact, the Divine Mercy message and devotion for a time had been banned by the Holy See. And so there was some skepticism out there, but the ban was lifted when there was more information on St. Faustina. And now, I think with St. Faustina being declared a saint, with Divine Mercy Sunday being officially proclaimed by John Paul II in the year 2000, with all of the things popes are saying about Divine Mercy and the references to St. Faustina, it's now become a situation where a lot of the priests who were skeptical for a while are now beginning to embrace the message. Now, that's not everybody, but there are a lot of priests. Like, for a while, they would say that the biggest obstacle to the spread of the Divine Mercy message and devotion was the priests. But part of that was because the priests, it's their job to question things so that the flock isn't misled. But I think we're now in a place where the Divine Mercy message and devotion is really becoming very widespread. There are still sometimes priests who, they just sometimes have a resistance to private revelation, or these type of things of mystics, and because of the false mystics that are out there and things. But I think that the things are changing. I think there's more of an openness in hearts. I'm seeing that myself. When I was in the seminary, I remember there was a lot of resistance to the Divine Mercy message and devotion. But after John Paul II, now with Pope Francis, I think there's a lot more emphasis on it. And the key thing with all this, at least in my opinion, is that St. Faustina, I prefer to put her not in the category of private revelation. I prefer to put her in the category of prophecy, which is a biblical category. In other words, that God in different times, just as in the Old Testament there were prophets, just as in the New Testament there's prophets, that there's a gift of the Holy Spirit of prophecy. And sometimes God raises up holy men and women to give a powerful word for a particular time. And the way I look at it is St. Faustina is one of those prophets, that she's reminding us in a time when we need to hear it more than any other, perhaps, that the heart of the gospel is God's mercy for sinners. And that's a work of the Spirit in our time, and the popes have recognized it. And so she's a true prophet. She's somebody that we should really listen to, as she's been vetted by the Church. And I think priests and the clergy are starting to recognize that.
Father, that's so beautiful. Trevor, can we have song number two, In His Presence? I somehow feel, Father, this song is apropos for what you were saying.
Presence there.
Presence of our Lord. And aren't we blessed that the Creator, us, the Son of the Creator, wants to be with us at all times and is just standing there with his arms open, waiting to embrace us. So, Joan, what do you have to say?
Well, I'd like to ask Father Gately to tell us more about this Mercy and Mary retreat that he's hosting here at Hofstra. In July, you know, there's probably a registration date and a phone number that you can give that people can find out more about it, Father.
Sure. There's these retreats that we're doing again for the Year of Mercy. Doing it in collaboration with an organization called the Marian Missionaries of Divine Mercy, and that's an organization for young men who want to give a year to do the works of mercy. They live right near the National Shrine of in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, and that we got about eight of them, and they do. They often will go to the streets of New York City, Boston, throughout Albany, and they have a ministry of presence to the homeless, where they just go out and listen to the stories of the homeless and just have a ministry really of friendship and presence. Anyway, myself and the Marian missionaries are going to be at this retreat. I'm going to be giving several talks. One of the missionaries is actually a professional magician, so he's going to give a really awesome magic show one of the nights. And it's going to be about mercy and Mary, really, and Marian consecration, divine mercy. And we've been doing these for the better part of a year, and they've just been really, really amazing events. So if anybody was interested, the one at Hofstra University is going to be from July 15th through the 17th. And the registration deadline is July 1st, 2016, obviously. And, for instance, we have one next week in Denver, Colorado, or just outside of Denver, and it sold out about a month ago, I think. And so, there's been a huge waiting list. So people really seem to be interested. And if anybody was interested in registering for it, we have a website called MarianMissionaries.org. It's MarianMissionaries.org. Or they could call to register at 413-944-8500. That's 413-944-8500.
Now, Father, you have this... I'm sorry, this is getting... Okay. You have this overnight, isn't it? Is that what it is? It's an overnight thing?
Yeah, it's it starts on Friday evening. I give a talk Friday evening, and then we usually have Mass. And then it's all day on Saturday, so people stay the night at the university. It's, you know, meals and food and meals and housing and all that. And then all day Saturday we have talks and different events. And then on Sunday there's some more talks, question and answer, and Mass. And so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, July 15th through the 17th.
Wow. Well, I can't promise, but I'm going to try to be there. If you see a little old man with gray hair, with a blonde-headed lady, that's us.
I'll keep my eyes out for
keep
you.
Keep your eyes open for a little old man with gray hair. And Brother Paul, now, I know you're going to be in the area at the end of April, aren't you?
No, I'm not sure.
Oh.
Well, you don't know you're on schedule.
Get a secretary, will you?
I have one, but she's not with me, so I can't ask.
Oh, okay. I think I have it down in my diary that you're going to be at St. Albans, at Techies.
Oh, Saint Aidan's.
At Saint Aidan's at the end of April, right?
I thought it was the end of May.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'll find out for sure, and I'll announce it.
Sure.
I'll announce it on the radio. But
that's pretty bad when you don't know your.
But you know what? You're something not to be missed. Whenever it is, they should come and see you because you are.
We'll mention it again.
Yeah, we'll be mentioning it again. You are a powerful speaker and a powerful person.
That's like the last time you asked me if I was going to be somewhere, and I said, absolutely not. And I was actually booked there. Remember?
I remember well. You know, I'm going to keep the diary myself and announce it myself on the radio for you.
I think
you.
We confuse our listeners enough
that's
today.
Funny.
Brother Paul.
Well, there is something I'd like to say, if you wouldn't mind, because I know we're getting short on time.
Okay.
I always like to remember you, and most especially your late partner, John Palmer, for the efforts that you do to keep this show on the air. I mean, it's a wonderful show filled with beautiful people who really speak the words of Jesus to so many people in Long Island and the greater New York area. And so I would certainly like to throw my support behind this show in terms of asking people to contribute to help keep it on the air. I know that you and John carried the show on your own for many years financially, and we frankly, you know, in order for the show to reach its real audience, to continue to grow and continue to bring Jesus to people's homes, people need to step up their plate and contribute. So I'm going to ask on your behalf that people do that, because it's certainly a worthwhile thing that you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Tears are coming down my eyes, I have to tell you. So thank you so much. That very nice of you, and very, very appreciative. We really are. And we are trying to keep the show going. We're going at least for this year, and we will. And it's all in John's memory, and it's the legacy that one of the legacies that John wanted to fulfill, and we're going to fulfill it. I'm positive. Thank you so much, Brother Paul.
You're welcome.
You're so kind, and you put tears to my eyes. And to Joan, too. Look, Joan's eyes is too. Thank you. Okay. Can we... how much time do we have, Trev? How much time?
No time.
Okay. Can we close with a prayer? Maybe Father or Paul can give a prayer to our listeners and stuff quickly.
It's 11 o'clock.
Oh, we don't have time? Okay. All right. We don't have time for the prayer. But anyway, love
you
guys.
See you next week.
Love you, listeners. Father, thank you so much.
Thank you, Father Gaten. Father, thank you so much, Brother Paul.
And we're sorry for the confusion at the beginning. And Brother Paul, as always, what a co-host. Love you, baby.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners. We love you. You're in our prayers.
That's how much a father longs to shield his child from pain. That's not how life happens.
From the heart of the Nautical Mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.